Orlando Magic are sitting at the exact same win total that they had last year at 42.
Yeah, and this is a team, like you mentioned Chicago before, that a lot of people are talking about in terms of making a jump, specifically in the regular season anyway. But they added Al-Farouq Aminu and Josh McGetty. They drafted Chuma Okeke at number 16, another candidate for greatest name coming in the NBA this year. They lost Timofey Mozgov, who went back to Russia, I believe. They re-signed Nikola Vucevic, Terrence Ross, MCW, and our guy Kem Birch, fellow Canadian.
Killing it in the FIBA World Cup friendlies right now. Just saying.
He's playing well. I've always liked Kem Birch. I'm glad he found a spot in the NBA.
So, more trivia. Timofey Mozgov was waived on July 6th of this year. However, he is still going to get paid this year. Do you know how much he's going to make over the next 3 years?
$28 million.
A little less than that. A lot less than that.
15.
Let's go 10.
$16.7 million over 3 years. My man got waived and is getting paid just over 5.5 every year. Good for him. Secure your bag.
Yeah, I mean, but he's probably second behind Chandler Parsons in terms of guys who are just living the life, or were living the life anyway in the NBA. But now that he's gone, you know, he can enjoy his money in Russia.
Yeah, pretty much. Do we think Markelle Fultz plays this year?
No.
No. Well, actually, he does. That's me being stupid. He's going to play. Is he going to play well? No. And with this Magic team, 42 wins, I feel like this is the team in the NBA which I just feel like the most meh about. Like, they have some good quality players, but like their system is a bit like they're like a treadmill team right now. And 42 wins is, I think, a bit too much. I think they just go just under here.
I am going over. I think that with the continuity, and they actually have an identity, I think their defense is going to be really good this year, and it was last year. Even in the playoffs, it was pretty decent too, besides not being able to contain Kawhi. But ultimately, I think with their starting lineup coming back and then adding Al-Farouq Aminu off the bench, they have some pretty good depth, and I think that's going to help them throughout the course of the regular season, but ultimately they're going to be first-round fodder again.
You think that Terrence Ross is going to keep up this shooting? Because you sort of have to assume that they're going to get 42 wins.
I think he's found a role with the Orlando Magic. And I think he was top five in guys whose usage rate went way up last year in comparison to the year before. Like, they used him a lot more last year than the year before. And he, you know, he took the reins and he played well off the bench for them. But ultimately, I think Jonathan Isaac is due for, you know, a guy that's going to take another leap. And yes. Aaron Gordon is really underrated, I think.
Yeah, I'm surprised. He's not on his rookie contract anymore, is he? Gordon? Aaron Gordon? Yeah.
No, he signed a four-year, $80 million deal. Same deal as Zach LaVine, I think.
It seems kind of cheap for Aaron Gordon.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty much a perfect modern-day four. For a guy that you don't really want as a primary guy in your offense, but he just fits. He can pretty much do everything on the floor.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think they go over 42 as well, as long as, well, with caveats that Terrence Ross continues to shoot well and Jonathan Isaac really propels himself this year. I think he will. Jonathan Isaac has so much potential, man. That dude is, he's just waiting to break out.
Yeah, and I mean, if he doesn't, they have a pretty good backup plan with Aminu off the bench. And Aminu is overqualified for being off the bench now since he started in Portland the last 4 years or so. It was sort of a weird signing when I saw it happen. But, you know, having a guy like that come off your bench and play 25 minutes a game is pretty solid.
All right, on to the next. The other Florida team that we have to begrudgingly talk about, the Miami Heat at 43.5 wins.
So obviously they made a sign and trade for Jimmy Butler this offseason, same with Myers Leonard, and they also signed a gentleman named Kyle Alexander. They drafted Tyler Hero and, wow, KZ Okpala at number 32. KZ? I don't even know how you pronounce this guy's name. His KZ, name, his first man. Name is actually literally KZ.
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 Whatever.
Oh my god, what? Come on, how Canadian can you be? KZ. Jesus.
They lost Dwayne Wade. He obviously retired in the offseason. They traded Hassan Whiteside. They also traded Josh Richardson. And they waived Ryan Anderson, who surprisingly hasn't found his way onto an NBA team.
Also a generic white guy that I should love, but I don't. yeah, I mean, I like Jimmy Butler, but this team is... I really don't see anything special about this team. It's going to be the exact same team as last year, to be dead honest.
Yeah. I could see that. I think they won just under 40 games last year, missed the playoffs. I don't think they're going to get anywhere close to their win total this year. I don't think Jimmy Butler is going to be that player that I guess a lot of teams thought he was. I think Philly's probably going to be happy with what they got in return from the Heat with their sign and trade. But I think the Heat are not going to win. I think their win total is 43.5. Yeah. I think I'm going to go under on the Heat. And I'm going to go with 40 wins exactly. I think they're going to be pretty much where the Magic are.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the Magic are going to be better than the Heat by at least 3 wins. But as you guys were alluding to, the talent around Jimmy Butler is not the greatest. It's pretty much the same as last year. The only difference is they have Bam now starting at center, which I think is going to improve their defense a lot. But off the bench, you just have a bunch of retreads from last year. I mean, I love James Johnson, but he looked really bad last year. And I think ultimately, if Miami is going to take a step up to being like a 45-win team, I think that Justice Winslow has to take another step in his development and be like a second star type player, which I don't really think he can be.
So
I'm going under. I'm gonna say 40 wins or 39 possibly.
Raj, what did you say?
Yeah, I said exactly under? That. I think 40 wins.
I'm gonna go with 44. Ooh. I'm going to go over with these guys. I like Jimmy Butler. I think their defense is going to be a lot better this year. And Josh made a really good point about losing Hassan Whiteside. That means there's no bickering about who's starting at the five. Right? It's going to be Bam. It's permanent. Everybody knows it. And they're just going to work around it. I'm liking it. Let's move on. The Brooklyn Nets at 43.5 wins also. Same as the Miami Heat.
So Brooklyn obviously had a massive change in their roster this offseason. They acquired Kevin Durant in a sign-and-trade with the Warriors. They obviously signed Kyrie Irving, DeAndre Jordan. And then you have a bunch of guys that sort of latched on with Garrett Temple, your guy Wilson Chandler, your favorite player.
Woo!
Torian Prince got traded to Brooklyn from the Hawks. David Nwaba signed there, Henry Ellenson as well. They drafted Nicholas Claxton at number 31 and Jalen Hands at number 56. And they lost pretty much half their roster. They lost Russell, Carroll, Ed Davis, Jared Dudley, Alan Crabb, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, Shabazz Napier, and Trevion Graham.
Okay, two things. First, what was that guy's name? The last guy?
Trevion Graham.
No, sorry, Hands? Something Hands?
Oh, Jalen Hands.
Good name. Very good name. Secondly, farewell to like more than half of those guys that left, man. You replaced them with much better players. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Jared Dudley for Garrett Temple? All day. All day. Torian Prince? Wilson Chandler? Oh, come on, man. This team's killing it this year, even without KD. They're still going to go over.
Yeah, I forgot to mention as well, they re-signed Caris LeVert on a 4-year, $52 million contract.
52 and a half. Yeah, dirt cheap.
Assuming he actually plays, yes.
What do you mean?
He's only started in, I think, 57 games in his career, which is a crazy stat.
Yeah, he's still... Oh, he's not even young.
He's youngish. He's in his prime.
He's 25.
Yeah.
But last year was his breakout year.
And he got injured. It wasn't like his productivity was bad. He was actually having a great year.
He was starting before he got hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he also had that... I think he had a broken foot coming into the NBA as well. So he's had some major injuries.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, I still think they go over, man. This team has too many good veterans to go under.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think Kyrie's finally happy with KD, even though KD's not going to be playing. I don't think they're going to go way over. I think the total's 43.5. I think they're going to hit like 46. But this was a good team last year, and I think they got better. So I think 46, 47 wins for them.
Yeah, I think upgrading from Russell to Irving just in itself will bump them up a little bit. And obviously you have the Kyrie Irving first year love fest that he's going to have with the fans there. He always plays well in his first year anywhere. So I think there's going to be a bump with that. And then also, as you mentioned, I think their depth has improved overall in terms of his quality. I think guys like, you know, Garrett Temple and Torian Prince are going to play key roles for them while KD's out anyway. And who knows, maybe Kevin Durant returns in March or April.
All right, let's move on to your world champion, Toronto Raptors.
So the Raptors, unfortunately, lost the best player in the NBA.
Danny Green?
A lot of praise for Danny. Unfortunately. Even though he's still back in Toronto every second weekend, it seems like. He's in Brampton today. Saw it on Instagram.
Yeah, he's got his camps, man.
Yeah, he's got his camps, and he loves the food here, too.
He's good for the kids.
He might just never show up in LA. He might just stay in Toronto. You have to void his contract. But they also added Stanley Johnson, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, Cam Payne, Devin Robinson, and Matt Thomas, the greatest shooter now in the NBA. They also drafted DeJuan Hernandez, and obviously they lost Kawhi and Danny Green. And they also re-signed Patrick McCaw, which means
they lost a couple of more guys. They lost a couple of more guys. Jeremy Lin is gone.
Oh, yes, Jeremy Lin. I made that prediction a couple months ago that he was going to sign in China. I just got the wrong team.
Yep, Beijing.
New he didn't sign with Yao Ming's team.
Shanghai?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is probably better for his career.
No, I am very excited about the Matt Thomas pickup, though.
Why? Matt Thomas, really?
Yeah, absolutely. Man. He's the best shooter outside the NBA last year. I think he had like a 92% effective field goal percentage because he shot the three-point shot just so well. He's going to be the next J.J. Redick. Mark my words.
He was shooting FIBA threes, not NBA threes.
You'll see. You'll see.
Also, do you remember the last Raptor that had this kind of praise? International star, shooting guard, former league MVP outside of the NBA? Anthony Parker?
Hey, Parker was good in the NBA.
Parker was all right in the NBA, but he didn't deserve greatest shooter. Matt Thomas does not deserve greatest shooter.
Hey, when he's leading the league in three-point shooting next year at, you know, a limited amount of attempts, but anyways, once he's at, like, 50% in, like, March, I'm going to come back on this podcast and say I told you so.
I will eat crow when that happens. Yes.
He might even take the starting two-guard position.
Oof. Over Norm?
Hey, you never know.
No, I mean, like, it's not that big of a deal because it's Norm.
I'll be your new best friend.
Yeah, I mean, like you know, Norm goes through those slumps where he just can't shoot at all, so nothing would surprise me.
All right, predictions here.
The Raptors have 46.5. I'm going to actually take the over, but I think they're just going to get over. There's a lot of bad teams in the East, and the Raptors do have that continuity. They're going to be riding a high. I think 48, 49 wins is what I'm going to expect from the Raptors.
Literally what I was going to say. Yeah. They're going to beat up on all the shitty teams. And they're going to want to prove a point. Especially coming into the season. It's going to be, yo, we can still win without Kawhi. And then they're going to win a few games. And then Masai won't be able to trade them at the deadline like he wants to.
Hard like, disagree. We feel
like he wants to.
I totally I know you disagree with both of you.
I know you disagree.
Because Masai is not that type of general manager. He's shown that he's like the most shrewd general manager in the NBA. And I think that if they're like the third seed come the trade deadline, he's not going to care. He's going to trade these guys anyway. So they're going to be like the third or fourth seed going into February. And then Masai is going to end up trading Lowry, Ibaka, and Gasol. And thus, they're going to go under.
Okay, Josh, we have two side bets with regarding the Raptors. One, will Matt Thomas lead the league in threes? Like three-point percentage?
All right, let's go top 10 for that.
Top 5?
Yeah, top 8.
Okay, top 8 percentage?
Yep. As long as he qualifies, yes.
Oh my god, get out of here, man.
I mean, if you want to take the bet otherwise, I'm cool with that too, because if he just shoots like 53s for the year, then I win. So I'll take that.
He's not going to shoot shit. Also, the secondary bet, Serge Ibaka will be a Raptor, even if they have a fire sale. All
right, I'll take that bet for sure.
Yeah, no one's going to take that contract, man. You going to pay Serge Ibaka $15 million for a half year? Please.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think teams will jump on that.
He's a really good center for, you know, a playoff team. He's been there before. He's played well in the playoffs last year in certain points. And he accepted his role to come off the bench, so it just shows that he's in, like, a different part of his career where he's, you know, he's looking to accept whatever role the coach gives him.
Whatever, man. I don't see it happening.
The one thing I am worried about, though, going into this year, the biggest question with the Raptors is OG Anunoby. And I'm sort of worried that Stanley Johnson's going to outshine him this year.
I have a big thumbs down right now for OG. I don't see it.
I'm hoping that he breaks out and has the same type of year as Pascal did last year, but
I don't see that.
Yeah,
that was an insane. I mean,
he's gonna be pushed into like a bigger role. Like he has to handle the ball this year, so we're gonna see what he can do.
Let's move on to the Indiana Pacers, 47.5.
So the Pacers changed over the roster a little bit. They acquired TJ Warren for literally nothing from the Suns, one of the craziest trades of the offseason. They also signed and traded for Malcolm Brogdon. They signed Raptor killer Jeremy Lamb and TJ McConnell as well. And they drafted Goga Bitadze. They also lost Darren Collison. He decided to go door-to-door. Tyreek Evans, Bojan Bogdanovic, Thaddeus Young, Wesley Matthews, Corey Joseph, and Kyle O'Quinn.
That's a lot. That's a big turnover. But Malcolm Brogdon's big.
Yeah, but I think people are going to really, I know this is too much Thaddeus Young for this podcast, but I think they're going to miss, they're going to miss that defensive stability that he provided. He was a very versatile defender. I think Indiana more or less is not much better than they were last year, especially with Victor Oladipo being out for probably the majority of the year. It's hard to say with 47.5 wins though.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're getting at.
Like, I don't know. I want to say that they're going to win. Like last year they won 48 wins, or they had 48 wins this year. I see them more or less being the same. Like it's really going to come down to when is Victor Oladipo going to show up and help this team, and how much are they going to miss Thaddeus Young? Like two pretty big question marks. But I'm actually going to say that they're going to be slightly worse, like 46 wins.
Yeah, I think the biggest question beyond when Oladipo's coming back is, as you mentioned, like losing Thaddeus Young is big, but now having to start Sabonis and Turner together. Are they going to be able to space the court enough and play big? Because when they've played those two guys together the last 2 years, it hasn't really worked out for them. I think they've been a net negative overall with those two guys on the court together. And ultimately, if it doesn't work, you have to decide like who you're going to go forward with. And I think ultimately it's going to be Turner because he's a better defensive player. And you're going to have to look at possibly trading Sabonis for, I don't know, a couple of draft picks and maybe a young player if you're lucky. So I don't know. I think I'm going to go under two just because there's so many question marks, and Brogdon, he's had some injury issues in the past and he's going to have to play a big role while Oladipo's out. And I'm not sure he's ready for that.
Yep. Literally all the same concerns I had with this team. They have the potential to be really good. They could be a 55 plus team, But if everything like works out well, but I just don't see it happening.
And they had a huge shift like going into last season. Like their maybe two or three biggest guys are not going to be on the team. Not even in terms of offensive output, but like players that had defined roles. Like Oladipo is not going to be starting. He's coming off an injury. Thaddeus Young's not going to be there. And Sabonis had a role as a sixth man. He's still there. Now he's going to be probably a starter. So it's a lot of changing parts. I do think Nate McMillan's a great coach, so he'll manage to get them into a good playoff position, but I don't think they're going to get 47.5 wins the more I think about it.
Under. I think this is the one team, though, in the East that might end up being like a much better postseason team than they are regular season team if they're able to figure it out. And those two big guys can, you know, play together in the front court.
It seems to be a recurring trend with this team, eh? Always a good playoff team, like always puts up a good fight, but during the season, they're always just meh.
I mean, they overachieved the first year with Oladipo and Sabonis. But I think that now that those guys have grown up and they have a pretty good, you know, roster around these guys now, like their depth off the bench is really good. Having those guys like Jeremy Lamb and TJ Warren, I'm not really sure they're going to start yet, but they have a lot of talent on this team. And if they're able to stay healthy, I think that they're going to be a pretty scary team to face in the Eastern Conference playoffs.
All right, let's move on. Yo, have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show onto all the apps that people like to listen to? How do you make money? The answer was pretty simple for me. I started using Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and super easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise in your podcast. So that means you can get paid immediately, like right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading you this ad. Super simple. So if you always wanted to start a podcast, let's start now. Go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of producers using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start. See you soon. I'm assuming another scary team, even though they lost their scariest player, the Boston Celtics, sitting at 49.5.
So they added Kemba Walker, Enes Kanter, and Vincent Poirier. And they drafted Romeo Langford, Grant Williams, Carson Edwards, and Tremont Waters. And they obviously lost Kyrie Irving, Terry Rozier, Al Horford, Marcus Morris, Aaron Baines, and Gershon Yabusele. And they re-signed Daniel Tice and Brad Wanamaker.
They still have the Time Lord?
Time Lord is still lording over the time in Boston, yes.
I like that. I think Kemba will fit really well with this team. And he's getting a lot of playing time with most of them through Team USA right now anyways, right? Because you got Brown, Marcus Smart, and Jalen Tatum out there. Or Jason Tatum, yeah, sorry.
You mixed two players right there.
Yeah. They're basically the same player, let's be real.
No, I mean, if you combine them, you know, if they combine their talents together, they'd be an unbelievable all-star.
Yeah, they'd be Gordon Hayward, but more athletic. I mean, yeah, Kemba should fit really well with this team. The main issue is just whether I don't know how they're going to try to convince their fans of this, but if Enes Kanter can hold down the paint.
Yeah, their front court. their front court's the big question mark going into this season, and I'm surprised they really haven't added more depth. And they may look to going into the trade deadline. But I think overall this team set to the projected win total is 49.5. I really do think that this is going to be a good fit. A lot less pressure on this team now that there's two or three front runners in the East that are probably a bit better than them. Because last year there's just a lot of pressure, a lot of undefined roles, a lot of like talking probably in the locker room. I think the Celtics are going to win more than 50 games this year. I predict them winning 53.
So we talk about their front court issues, and yet you think they're going to go over 50.
Yeah, I think that they have enough talent. I think Kemba Walker has got what? He got the Hornets 39 wins with absolutely nobody.
Yeah, but I think you also have to look at their swingman position too. Nobody's talking about this, but they have three guys that are expecting to start. and only two guys are going to be able to. Because you're going to have Marcus Smart starting at the two again, and then one of Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, Jason Tatum is going to come off the bench this year.
Which might not be a bad thing.
Like, you, it could be if, you know, those players are going into, I think their rookie extension is going to be kicking in after this year, to where they're going to have to sign a big contract. So if Jaylen Brown's not getting good minutes this year, maybe he's the one to ask out. Maybe he's not happy with his role. Or if Hayward's feeling better this year and playing up to, you know, what he did in Utah, maybe he's the guy that's complaining because he's not getting the same type of minutes as he's expecting. So I can see some issues on this team, and I don't think they're going over. And ultimately, we're talking about Serge Ibaka and Marc Gasol before. This is the team that's going to trade for one of those guys.
Yeah, for Marc Gasol, not for Serge.
Yeah, you never know.
Nah, man, I do know. I'm telling you, Josh. Trust me.
Or maybe for Chris Boucher. That's why they're going to go
over. Sure. I mean, great. But that's why Boston's going to go over.
You're no, picking the over too, eh?
I'm going over. I think they figure it out, chemistry-wise. Yo, why don't they just start Jason Tatum at the five instead of Enes Kanter? Do something really bizarre.
You'd be much better defensively, but you never get a rebound.
Well, you would never get offensive rebounds.
Hmm.
You can get defensive rebounds, man. Enes Kanter is like not that good of a defensive rebounder.
He's okay. If he plays like bigger minutes, he's decent, but...
Yeah.
They're going to rely a lot on the Time Lord coming off the bench if you look at it, because Enes Kanter is going to be played off the floor by a lot of teams, I think.
Oh, man.
Or Daniel
Tice. What a great sentence.
I know.
They're going to be really reliant on the Time Lord off the bench. I love it. This is gold.
That's great, yeah.
All right, let's move on. The Philadelphia 76ers are sitting at 55 wins right now.
So they added Josh Richardson in the Jimmy Butler trade, signed Al Horford, Kylo Quinn, Raul Neto, and Trey Burke. And obviously they lost Jimmy Butler, J.J. Redick, T.J. McConnell, Boban, and John Simmons. And they drafted Matisse Thybulle, Mariel Shayok, and Jordan Bone.
Wait, he was on Detroit, wasn't he?
Jordan Bone?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I remember I made Bone and Wood jokes.
I think that was somebody else.
Nah, man, it was him, I swear.
Well, I'm looking that up right now, but go ahead.
I don't think we need to look that up.
No, not on Detroit. They have Davidis or Vidas.
Basketball Reference has him on...
Chicago?
Has him on Detroit.
Yeah, maybe got traded.
Yeah.
But anyways, maybe. Moving we'll on.
Yeah. Too much boning talk here, man. The 76ers are going to go over. Adding Al Horford, the one guy who was dominating Joel Embiid last year. Josh Richardson knows how to play ball well, and he's on a cheap contract. Ben Simmons is shooting fadeaway jumpers in Rico Hines basketball videos. I'm in.
55 wins or 50?
I think they're going to go, what is their over under, 55? Yeah. I think they'll get like 56, 57. Like just over, but I think they'll get over.
Yeah.
I'm convinced that Ben Simmons will shoot at least 54% from the line this year. How about that?
Ugh. What a benchmark.
It's sad. I'm going to say they're going to go just under. I think they're going to sit Embiid, be really careful with his health. I also think they're going to miss a little of their outside shooting. Obviously losing J.J. Redick, and we talked about T.J. McConnell being an effective mid-range shooter last podcast. I think this team's going to like still have a bit of shooting issues, but I don't think they're going to they're going to win more than 50, but not 55. I'm going to say 53.
I'm definitely going over on this one. Their biggest issue last year is when Embiid sat, they were just absolutely awful. Now they have Horford to make up those minutes, and they're always going to have one of those guys on the floor at all times, unless Horford gets injured, obviously. But they're still massive.
Or Embiid gets injured.
What's that?
Or if Embiid gets injured.
True, but then you just put Horford into the five at, you know, with more minutes, and he's going to be okay there, and you can play a bunch of different guys at the four. But ultimately, their team is massive, and defensively, they're just going to be a beast. So, and that's going to work in the regular season for sure. And the playoffs are going to have some problems with who's going to be the guy come fourth quarter time, because who's really going to handle the ball when you need somebody to get you buckets? But that's ultimately a question that you ask in the offseason, or in the postseason.
You want a real guess at that? Mike Scott.
Office manager.
Yes. With all his, he's going to be getting paper, Mike Scott. So, Josh, you said over, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Documented.
I'm going to actually change, I'm going to change it. I'm going over.
No. You can't do it. It's too late, man. Gut feelings only in this podcast, all
right,
okay?
All right, I see how it is.
The last team that we have holding the reigning MVP, losing Malcolm Brogdon this summer, the Milwaukee Bucks are sitting at 58 wins.
So they added the second of the Disney twins with Robin Lopez signing. They signed Wes Matthews, Kyle Korver, and Thanasis Antetokounmpo. So the Antetokounmpo is heard together again. And they obviously lost Malcolm Brogdon. Nikola Mirotic decided to go back to Barcelona. Pau Gasol, Tim Frazier, and John Luehr got waived once he got traded there. And they also traded Tony Snell as well. And they re-signed Chris Middleton, Brook Lopez, and George Hill.
Wow. So I'm on Basketball Reference's salary page, or team payroll page for this team. And they have five guys who are getting paid this year that will not suit up for this team. Can we guess those five players?
Oh, man.
They're somewhat relevant players.
Tony Snell?
No.
Are they also in the NBA?
One we just talked about like three times. He's like one of my favorite white guys.
Oh, John Luehr.
Yeah. He's getting paid for three more years. That's incredible.
Man, good for him.
One had a, I think it was a heart condition a couple of years ago that made him retire. Was it a heart condition or a clot? Maybe a clot.
Oh, not Teodosic.
No, the other one.
Ah.
Mirza.
Mirza Teletovic, yeah.
There you go. This guy's a big redneck.
Big redneck.
Like, he's literally a big man. He's a big and he's a redneck.
Robert Swift.
No. Good pull. I don't know what to say. He used to be on the Hornets for a while. He was on the Clippers. Used to have a man bun. It's really forgettable. Like a big man shooter.
Drobniak?
Spencer Hawes.
No.
See, very forgettable.
Very forgettable.
Point guard who was really good for them last year. Oh, wait, he's still on the roster. What the hell? That's weird.
George Hill. Never mind.
Yeah, George Hill. That's weird. The last guy, though, this is going to be a blast from the past for you guys. He left the NBA about 4 or 5 years ago because he was too depressed.
Oh, Royce Waite.
What?
It's not Royce Waite.
No, Royce Waite is a guy who couldn't play because he couldn't get on planes.
Oh, yes, yes. Too depressed.
You really don't remember? Became an alcoholic afterwards.
Vin Baker?
Obviously. No. Vin Baker? Are we in 2006?
I mean, you said the word alcoholic, and the first person that comes to mind is, you know, Vin Jesus Baker from the Christ. NBA anyway.
Larry goddamn Sanders. Oh, Jesus yeah, yeah. Christ. God, I'm so angry right now. Somebody talk, man. I can't do this.
So 58 wins, eh?
Yeah, 50. Was it 58? Is that what I said? Yeah, yeah.
I'm,
last year they had 60.
Yeah, I'm going to say under. I think they overperformed last year. They surprised a lot of teams. They were obviously very good. I think a lot of things went their way, even in terms of injury. Brogdon was like their main injury, and that was later in the season. I don't think they get 58 wins. I think they'll be a very effective team, and Giannis in the regular season is pretty much unstoppable. Even in the postseason, he's a handful. I don't think they're going to get 58. They're probably going to be close to Philly, who's going to get 55 if Peter let me switch my prediction. But I'll say 56 wins, 55 or 56 wins for the Milwaukee Bucks.
So the total is 57.5, right?
58.
West 58 State flat?
50, yeah,
58 flat right now.
Huh. That's tough.
Yeah.
I'm going to say slightly under at 57. Just because, you know, Bledsoe had a career year last year. And I think he's got to carry even more of the load now that Brogdon's not there, being like a secondary ball handler type. And Wes Matthews is going to get a ton of open looks, obviously, but you can't really count on George Hill to play like an extended amount of games, which is going to put a lot of pressure on Bledsoe. And I don't really think he's capable of putting up the same type of numbers as he did last year. But I still love this team. I mean, they have a great defense, obviously, and they have a system in place that just works around Giannis. And they don't really make a lot of changes. I mean, having Lopez, the second Lopez, come off the bench in place of Brook is going to be nice for them, too. So I really do like this team, but I'm going to go slight under.
I'm going with a slight over because, well, obviously we all know Giannis is going to beast it as he usually does. But Eric Bledsoe is really good during the season. All of our criticisms about Eric Bledsoe in the past have been during the playoffs, right? He just disappears. He got his ass beat by Scary Terry. But during the playoffs is when this man shines.
I mean, during the regular season.
Sorry, during the season.
Yeah.
During the season is when this man shines. I think he's just going to make a pop. Combine that with Wesley Matthews. He's finally gone home this year, which is a weird decision to make. Also a weird place to be from, Milwaukee. Just odd. And I think Pat Connaughton has a good year. How about that, Josh?
I like Pat Connaughton. I mean, he almost made the USA team, right? So.
Yeah, he's a really good player. Very underrated. He's got crazy ups for a white guy, which also helps. And he's like really underrated by his opponents, right? Like people don't understand how athletic he is. So they don't see him when they see him gapping off, they're like, oh, whatever, I can beat this guy. But he recovers really quickly. He's a really good defender. He's really smart. I really love Pat Connaughton's game. And as a result, I'm going over. So these have now been documented. We will check in again at the end of the year to see how we stand. From the quick look of things, we all think the bottom of the East sucks. Yeah, how about that? Except Josh somehow thinks that the Wizards will be good.
Well, better than what Westgate thinks.
At 27.5.
I mean, one of those teams has to pop a little bit, right? So I think they had the best chance with that backcourt.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, man. I'm regretting my decisions already. I said the Knicks are going over. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I think the most attractive line out of this is the Hornets under 23.
Yeah, I'm going to pound that bet.
Yeah. Like, unless they make some really crazy trade, but they have nothing to offer. So, I really don't think the Hornets are going to get 23 wins. If I had to take one single bet, that would be the bet I would take.
Them and the Cavs. I don't think the Cavs can do anything this year either. Mm-hmm. All right, that's it. Any final words? Any more boning or wood that we need to talk about? No?
That's enough.
I'm going to predict that Kyle Lowry gets traded to an Eastern Conference team this year. Possibly Milwaukee if Eric Bledsoe gets injured at some point this year.
That would be interesting to see.
Though I still ultimately think he's going to end up on Philadelphia. I think that's the trade that's going to happen.
Cool. I want to thank everyone for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, Anchor, all the major podcast platforms. Hit us up on Twitter and on Instagram at Stretch4Pod. And until next time, peace.